Ms. Miller, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. And may it please the court, I'm Elizabeth Miller, and I lead the Department of Public Service in Vermont. I'm arguing today on behalf of both the state of Vermont and our co-petitioners, the New England Coalition. With me at council table are Chris Killian and Anthony Arapino of the Conservation Law Foundation on behalf of the NEC and the state's attorney, Tony Roisman. The question presented to the court today is whether the Nuclear Regulatory Commission was bound by federal law to refuse to grant a renewed license for the Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Station for an additional 20 years of operation beyond its 40-year original license because Vermont Yankee's owner Entergy had neither applied for nor received a 401 certification under the Clean Water Act from the state of Vermont with respect to its renewed license application. It is petitioner's position that the NRC lacked authority to issue a final renewed license without a 401 certificate associated with the renewal application in hand. It is a non-discretionary, mandatory duty under the Clean Water Act, and it is designed to protect state interest and authority to protect the nation's water as guaranteed by Congress. NRC's failure to heed the express and plain terms of Section 401 should cause this court to reverse the decision to grant a renewed license and to remand this matter to the NRC. Starting with the plain language of Section 401, 33.
Well, let me ask you, are you going to discuss the challenge based on failure to exhaust this issue?
Yes, Your Honor, we will. I have 4 points I'd like to cover today very briefly. First, that 401 applies to a relicense application. Second, that the burden under 401 falls first to the applicant and then to the federal agency to ensure that a state certification is in hand prior to issuance of a renewed federal license. Third, that the arguments injected into this matter by respondents regarding exhaustion or waiver have no place here. And then finally, their substantive arguments with regard to 401 also are incorrect. So that is the tenor of my outline for argument. And I'd be happy to turn first to the exhaustion question if you would like.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, sure. The first thing to note, Entergy itself, but not the NRC, raised the issue of whether the petitioners here have timely filed a petition under the Hobbs Act. And just very briefly, let me note first that the NRC has agreed with petitioners that the petition here is timely filed because it was filed within 60 days of the relicensing decision.
What I'm focusing on is the argument that the argument that the NRC could not proceed in light of the requirement under the Clean Water Act, Section 401 certification. The argument has been made that, you know, it was never raised before the board. It was never raised in comments. And therefore, given that the NRC has regulations requiring these issues to be raised, this court should not get to the merits of your argument.
Let me take that in pieces. First of all, petitioners did raise this issue below in front of the Atomic Safety Licensing Board. The Atomic Safety Licensing Board issued a decision that agreed with the substance of the petitioner's claim that 401 is a separate, independent legal obligation, distinct from NEPA review, distinct, therefore, from Part 51 of 10 CFR, which are the NRC regulations regarding NEPA review. Instead, under the NRC regulations, first, a relicense application qualifies as a, quote, license under NRC regulations, and I would point you to 10 CFR 50.2 for that proposition.
Still not responsive. You tried to amend before, you tried to raise this argument that 401 was required before the board, right?
That's correct.
And you didn't get anywhere.
That on that point, I would disagree.
So you think think the board held that 401 is required as a prerequisite to licensing?
The Atomic Safety Licensing Board's decision recognized that 401 is a separate and independent statutory requirement.
Yeah, not the question I'm asking you. Your position here is that before the NRC can issue a license, there has to be a state license under 401, right?
That's correct.
Is your position that the Atomic Safety Licensing Board agreed with you on that position?
The Atomic Safety Licensing Board's decision on the contention that was raised by the New England Coalition and joined by the state.
Still not the question I'm asking. Let's make it as clean as possible.
Sure.
The exact argument that you're raising here, which you wanted to raise, discusses your principal point. Did you win that before the ASLB?
We had comfort from the ASLB's decision that they agreed that 401 was a separate independent obligation that the NRC would have to fulfill in the proceedings.
So you think it was the other side that should have appealed?
Well, I think there's a question that should be raised. It is difficult to read the ASLB decision that you are referencing and determine how petitioners could have or should have appealed that issue. And let me just elaborate for a moment, if I may.
Before you say that, did you make this point in your reply brief? I mean, the argument you're making now, which is basically you won and therefore you had no reason to appeal or that you had no way to appeal, I don't see that in your brief.
Your Honor, to be clear, I am not suggesting that we won. I am suggesting that the ASLB, in determining that the amended contention was irrelevant, also determined, in line with petitioner's argument to the ASLB, that 401 was a separate independent statutory obligation, separate from NEPA review as a part of the NRC proceeding, separate from Part 51 of the regulations. And that ruling was in line with what the petitioners had argued and gave petitioners comfort in proceeding. And that is in light of, just to finish the point, the NRC Commission's words itself in the Federal Register, and I would be happy to point you to the citation, 61 Federal Register 28467 at 28474, that the NRC understood that it had an obligation to fulfill 401 as it always had done with regard to relicensing
proceedings. Why did you raise this argument before the board in the first place?
Why was it raised before the board in the first place?
Why did you attempt in your reply brief to amend and to raise the 401 argument before the board?
Your Honor, petitioners did believe that it was important to alert the ASLB to all aspects of water quality, including 401, even though 401 is a separate and distinct provision. We did so, and upon hearing from the ASLB that it was not a part of NEPA review in Part 51, it did not continue as a part of the contentions in the matter. However, Part 50.54 AA, 10 CFR 50.54 AA, notes specifically that the NRC shall, in granting a relicense, incorporate 401 conditions as required by the Clean Water Act. And so between the NRC Commissioner's response that it understood 401 and would, as it always had done, follow 401, the ASLB decision that 401 was not a part of the NEPA review, and the regulation 50.54 AA indicating that NRC understood and would incorporate within any renewed license 401 conditions, the petitioners proceeded. And it is our further position that the injury here is the license that was issued, not the underlying decision or the way in which the commission handled the contentions before it.
Let me just ask you, so that's why it would have been futile to comment on the supplemental EIS to make this 401 point?
With regard to the comments, first, it is true that the Part 51 NEPA review was, as one would expect, under NEPA, and that the comments made by Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources in scoping were with respect to the approximately 100 issues that were raised as a part of the NEPA review, none of which were 401. However, the Agency of Natural Resources did note, and this is set forth in briefs for both parties, that the Clean Water Act and the discharge requirements will protect the state of Vermont with regard to water quality. It was a prospective statement and a reservation of state rights. Frankly, ideally here, in retrospect, additional comments by the state may have been helpful, but 401's express terms placed the burden first upon the applicant to apply and then upon the federal agency not to issue a license unless and until a 401 certificate is in hand.
Well, what about the argument that in 1996, the NRC had issued this generic statement that,
right,
you know, it would deem a 402 permit.
Sure, I'd be happy to address that.
And amount to state concession that 401 obligations were met.
Right.
That was not challenged either.
Your Honor, the generic environmental impact statement from 1996 makes a passing, and I would say ambiguous reference, that sometimes a discharge permit is an indication of 401 fulfillment. That is not true in Vermont, and never has been. 402 and 401 in Vermont are distinct, and permits are routinely issued for both. I believe that the NRC Council reference to the generic environmental impact statement cites Florida law. Florida, unlike Vermont, does consider a discharge permit to be a fulfillment of 401. Importantly, NRC's regulations at 10 CFR 50.54AA note that the NRC will incorporate 401 qualifications into its license. The NRC did not take the opportunity to say 401 or 402 or anything of the sort. And the NRC, in issuing this license, did not reference 401 at all, nor did the NRC state that 401 should be considered fulfilling a 402 should be considered fulfilling 401 here. Finally, the generic environmental impact statement to which you refer is in a portion of the generic environmental impact statement regarding open cycle cooling plants, not of the type Vermont Yankee is. So not only is it not a specific reference saying that the NRC will forever find 402 instead of 401, it's also not even in a portion of the impact statement applicable to this plant. It also preceded the NRC's commissioner's specific comments in the Federal Register at the site I gave you earlier that the NRC would continue to comply with 401 as it had always done.
Could you refer me to the part of the opinion of the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board that you were discussing before that said that they agreed with you that it wasn't part of NEPA?
I can, Your Honor. Just give me one moment, if you would.
No problem. Are you talking about the first opinion or the opinion denying the motion to amend?
The opinion denying the motion to amend, I believe it's at 7-8.
It's RA 429.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
Where's the, it's a page 8, you think, that you're referring to? Page 8 of that opinion?
I believe it's 7 and 8, but I apologize that
sorry,
despite my organization, I'm not finding as quickly as I had hoped.
All right. I think it's the appendix, page 435.
Ah, here it is. I apologize. Pages 6 to 7, following on to 8 of that opinion.
Okay, so what language are you referring to that stands for this proposition?
On the bottom of 7, following on to 8, here we do agree with Entergy. A CWA 401 certification is a document issued by the state certifying that a proposed discharge satisfies the state's water quality standards and criteria. But a CWA 401 certification is simply an independent statutory requirement, and neither NEPA nor 10 CFR Part 51 incorporates it or requires it.
And what does that mean with respect to the exhaustion point?
With respect to the exhaustion point, Your Honor, first of all, we are not appealing any finding of the ASLB here. We are appealing petitioning this court because the NRC chose to issue a renewed license for an additional 20 years of operation without a 401 certificate in hand.
Right. So when I ask about exhaustion, what I mean is, why did you not have to go to the NRC and say you shouldn't issue this without a 401 certificate in hand?
The NRC has cited two separate provisions of the CFR, 10 CFR 2.1212 and 10 CFR 2.341, for the proposition that petitioners ought to have taken this to the commission first. Importantly, both of those references state specifically.
I thought they're citing 2.341.
That's correct.
D. Is that what we're talking about?
As well as 2.1212. Both of the provisions are substantively identical, and they both say that unless otherwise authorized by law, petitioners must raise issues to the commission before seeking judicial review.
Yes.
There are two points there. First, with regard to otherwise authorized by law, the Clean Water Act itself is express and plain. It is self-executing, it is a mandatory duty, and it is Congress's guarantee to the states that water quality protection will have an important state role. Secondly, the ASLB decision itself is not the matter that the petitioners are bringing to this court. It's not the matter of injury to the petitioners. Instead, it is the NRC's decision to issue a license without a 401 certificate in hand. So it is our position.
I understand that too. I don't understand why you don't have to ask the NRC first. That's what I'm.
Well, if one had to ask the NRC, if a state had to come to the NRC and say, hey, there's no 401 with regard to this application, if the court were to find that, the court would be turning 401 essentially on its head. 401 is very clear that the only manner in which a state may waive 401 is following upon
a receipt of an application by the applicant. That's for a statutory waiver. This is about exhaustion.
Your Honor, exhaustion can apply only when the matter being before the court is something that the lower body, here the ASLB, got wrong, or petitioners alleged got wrong.
Exhaustion is you have to raise it in front of the body that makes the decision. If you win this case, what do you want us to do?
We would ask the court reverse the licensing decision and send it back to the NRC. The NRC has regulations, of course.
And when it goes back to the NRC should then hold that a 401 license is required first, right?
That the NRC should then await Entergy to apply to the state of Vermont and receive a 401 certification.
Well, the problem is why you didn't ask them to do that in the first place rather than wait till it gets here, ask us to send it back down, and then have them do it then.
Your Honor, 401 does not require it. Until the license was issued, the state of Vermont had no reason to assume that the NRC would allow the license to go out without a 401. Entergy is in thermal discharge permit.
If you had no reason to assume that, why did you file anything before the ASLB?
Again, Your Honor, raising the issue with the ASLB in the context of the water quality NEPA issues seemed appropriate. We did so. We alerted the NRC to the requirement, and the ASLB found, as we've now discussed, that it was an independent statutory criteria. Unless there are more questions now, I would reserve.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Costin.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Sean Croston. I represent the NRC and the United States in this case, and I'll be splitting time with Entergy's counsel, 13 minutes and 7. And if I could just start with the exhaustion issue that you were just raising, I think that's the issue you can most easily decide this case on, that issue alone. Petitioners in this case plainly failed to satisfy the requirements of the traditional exhaustion rule.
Where the board makes a statement on page 8, acknowledging that the Section 401 requirement is an independent requirement, why should that not be read as, nothing more needs to be said? The board has acknowledged that this is an independent requirement. So then it goes to the commission, and you rely on the generic policy issued in 1996. The argument is, well, that's not what the commission said. It just never dealt with the issue.
Well, if I could speak to the board decision, I think the board was pretty clear on, I think, page 7 of their decision, that they were saying that they were not making any decision regarding the merits of the claim here. This was a procedural ruling saying it's essentially that one of the petitioners, I believe, is only New England Coalition because Vermont expressly did not join these attempts to raise the issue, that this was just raised procedurally in a deficient manner, and that they needed to go back and file a separate contention on this issue.
Board, and the board says, I acknowledge there's this independent requirement, but I'm dealing with NEPA issues, and that's what I'm going to focus on.
Well, the board does have authority to look at Clean Water Act issues. As, for example, we cite there's a private fuel storage case on page 9 of our brief. The board can look at any deficiency in sort of a federal law requirement.
Well, I guess my question is, what more did the board need to say at that point for it to be aware that the argument was being made that a 401 certification was required?
Well, I believe the board was aware by that point, certainly, that the argument had been raised.
Okay, moving on to the commission. What needed to be said before the commission?
Well, the NRC regulation, that 10 CFR 2.341, said that the petitioners in this case would have needed to raise this issue before the commission. There's a pretty express requirement in the NRC regulations. And the Supreme Court in the Sims versus Apple case.
Carry this forward. The commission has issued this generic policy in 1996 that acknowledges there is this requirement for a 401 certification, but that there are occasions when it will look to the 402 permit. And the argument here is that, well, that was stated in a different context, but just taking it on its face, if we could for a moment, hasn't the commission already acknowledged this is its obligation?
Well, the commission said, has agreed, I think, and if you look back to the 1996 generic environmental impact statement, of course, they must acknowledge that Section 401 is a requirement of federal law, but they also pointed out in that generic environmental impact statement, as back in the supplemental environmental impact statements, that there's essentially a presumption that when you have a state-issued Section 402 permit, that they are essentially functionally equivalent.
So the burden is on the state to come forward and say that the 402 permit is insufficient to protect the water quality that's necessary to be protected under the 401?
Yes, we believe that's the traditional exhaustion rule, that parties need to contest an agency's positions before the agency, unless there's, I think the language this court has used is exceptional circumstances.
So where the Vermont board said it was satisfied that the 402 permit met Vermont's requirements, that was all the commission needed to consider.
Well, the board, I don't think they ever said, essentially, the board never discussed the generic environmental impact statement, as far as I'm aware.
I said the state. The state agency said that 402 permit fulfill the needs that the state had. So that was all that the commission had to consider.
Yeah, I think that if you look at...
In other words, that's a concession by the state, if I can put it that way.
Yes, I think so. I mean, if you look at page 42 of the record appendix at the very top, you'll see there's comments from Vermont on the NRC supplemental environmental impact statement. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty clear there that they expect the impacts from the renewed license to be minimal, the clean water, the environmental impacts, and they say that essentially this 402 NPDES permit should, you know, through their ongoing review and monitoring process, that they would be able to take care of any issues with that. And the NRC, I think, reasonably took that as an assurance that this wasn't a problem, which is backed up by Vermont choosing not to join NEC's procedurally deficient claims before the board. And now, it was only 5 years later, at the end of this process, they jump into this court and say, hey, wait a second. And this is really sort of a sandbagging attempt. You know, end of the day, they could have raised this issue certainly before the board. They could have appealed it to the commission. They could have filed comments on the generic environmental impact statement, on the supplemental environmental impact statement. There's plenty of opportunities they had to raise this properly, but they didn't take advantage of them. So our position is that that is certainly improper now to essentially seek initial review in this court. This is not, you know, this is the Court of Appeals. You're supposed to consider things that have already been decided by lower bodies, and there was no merits decision here, really, because the board tossed us out these defective claims on procedural grounds, and then that was it. There was essentially silence for 5 years.
Well, what about her argument, opposing counsel's argument at 7-8, that there was nothing for them to appeal because their position is that CWA 401 certification is an independent statutory requirement, and since the licensing board agreed with them, it's really, if anybody was going to appeal, it should have been Energy, not them, because they won their point.
Well, I think
that the meaning of the carryover paragraph between pages 7 and 8 of the opinion?
The meaning of that comment about Section 401 being an independent requirement was simply that it did not belong attached really try to, as an add-on to a NEPA-based contention that was filed, that was pre-existing. They were saying this is a procedurally improper attempt to add it.
Well, that's not what your opponent says. Your opponent says that this is a flat statement, which is really the statement that they agree with, and therefore they have no reason to appeal. How do you know that it's what you say?
Well, because if you look at the nature of what the board was deciding here, was really they were rejecting an attempt to graft a Clean Water Act claim onto a NEPA claim. And they were saying, essentially, and they've said earlier when they tried to raise this issue in a reply brief, that you've got to file a separate contention on this issue. You can't, I mean, there's a process for doing these things at the NRC for raising these issues, and they just simply didn't follow that process. So the board wasn't making...
They filed a motion for reconsideration or to amend and file a new contention. That was before the board, and the board turned them down again.
Well, the board said that they could not add this onto a NEPA contention that was pre-existing, this contention one, I believe.
Clearly the board was saying it was not going to consider this issue.
Well, I don't believe that's what the board said, Your Honor. I think the board was saying...
Why would it have denied? I mean, it said, first of all, this 401 contention was indistinguishable from contention number one. And furthermore, the board didn't see how it was relevant to the NEPA issues. So, I mean, hearing that from the board, is there anything more to do before the board?
Well, I think the board may have been splitting hairs a little bit, you know, in technicalities, saying you should file this as a separate contention under the Clean Water Act that really you need to raise, there's a certain way you need to raise it that you didn't raise it here.
I asked to file a new contention, and the board turned them down.
I think that they really, my understanding was that they had filed potentially an attempt to amend their pre-existing contention, that it really was not a new, separate contention, a separate late file, completely separate contention.
I thought it was a motion for reconsideration or to file a new contention. I mean, that'll be clear from the record.
Sure, yeah, we would have to go back and look at that. My understanding was just that it was a motion to amend.
Energy files for this renewal license, and it says it has a CWA, Section 401, 1970. I mean, it has acknowledged there that it has to comply with Section 401.
Sure.
And that's the end of the matter?
Well, if no one really raises a proper objection, the NRC, you know, there's no requirement in the Clean Water Act statutory requirement that we have to go forth and set forth an exhaustive analysis when no one has raised the issue properly before the NRC. And in fact, Vermont's failure to join the NEC's claims here and also their comments in the Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement seem to suggest they agreed.
To be clear, before the board in the NEPA proceeding, just proceed on the notion that the board was correct that it wasn't going to get into the clean water certification issue. The burden was then on the petitioners before us to come to the NRC and say you cannot issue a license.
Well, immediately.
The renewal cannot take effect until such time as Energy has applied and received an updated 401 certification.
I think the immediate requirement was on the petitioners here, well, at NEC, since they were only the only party who raised it before the board even. They should have immediately appealed the board's ruling here. That's on, I think, pages 6 and 7 and 8.
No, but my hypothetical question to you was assume the board is correct.
Sure.
That in a NEPA proceeding, it is not going to consider the Clean Water Act 401 certification issue. Let's assume that's all procedurally and substantively correct. Then, before the commission, what did the petitioners have to do, or any petitioner have to do?
Well, I'm a...
Objector have to do.
I think they should have objected that if that was what the board was saying.
Not should have, but what were they required to do before the commission?
They were required to raise the issue by the NRC's own regulations at 10 CFR 2.341. But
in other words, they had to say, I just need to be clear about this.
Sure.
Because Energy has come in and said we have a 1970 401 certification.
Right. And as far as I'm aware, no one, that was not really properly challenged before the NRC. The NRC accepted that and accepted that they had a Section 402 permit. So, and the board, I don't think, was saying that this was only a NEPA proceeding. In other words, that they could only consider NEPA issues. The board's position is at the NRC has long been they consider that they can consider any federal requirement if it was properly raised, but just, I mean, this was just procedurally deficient here. So they said, you've got to raise this properly. And it wasn't raised properly. And then it just sat there. This issue, NRC, they kind of lulled NRC into believing that this was not a problem. And until 5 years later, they spring an ambush at the court saying, hey, now you've got to stop this.
What is your response to the opposing counsel's argument that the state can't waive this position?
I think that the waiver provision is a separate statutory issue. The, as far as I'm aware, the Section 401, I think it's A1, it's a provision that says essentially when a licensed applicant asks the state for Section 401 certification, that the state has to act on it within a year or they've waived their right to essentially reject this 401 certification. But here, there's no evidence of that. That's a separate, distinct requirement that just says the state's got to act quickly when they have a pending request to issue a certification. That was not the case here. And as I think you pointed out, that that's separate from the traditional exhaustion rule in this court. So we think that the traditional exhaustion rule still applies. There were no exceptional circumstances justifying any failure to exhaust, and that's the easiest issue that you can decide the case on right there.
If this had been raised below, would you be arguing that the court's required to give Chevron deference to the commission's interpretation of whether a new 401 license is required?
Oh, no. The EPA is the federal agency that gets deference on this issue, so we would not suggest that. I see that my time is up. If there are no further questions.
All right, thank you. Mr. Martin?
Good morning, and may it please the court. Kevin Martin on behalf of Intervenor Entergy. With me at council table, I have David Lewis. I'd like to begin, like the other parties, with the exhaustion question. And I think here that the timeline and the statutory provisions dealing with points at which contentions can be raised are very important to have clear. Entergy, as I think at this point everyone acknowledges, did raise the existence of the 1970 WQC and the NPDES permit in its environmental report. That was the first time that NEC and the state could have raised a contention alleging that the discussion of compliance with Section 401 was deficient because there was no indication that we would be obtaining a new water quality certification. They did wind up raising that in an untimely fashion, and I think as council has conceded today, they're not challenging the order of the ASLB that the way they raised, that NEC raised it back in 2006 was untimely.
Well, that's not the way they construe that order. They construe pages 7 and 8 as agreeing with them that the 401 certification is simply an independent statutory requirement.
They do.
And construed in that way, I take it their argument is that NRC is not the place to raise the issue. The place to raise it is directly in the court. So what do you say about that reading of the decision of 7 to 8?
There are two problems with that argument. First of all, under the Hobbs Act, only a party aggrieved is allowed to come to this court. So if for example, there had been no contentions filed with the NRC, they could not suddenly come to this court, and this court would not have jurisdiction to consider any arguments they raised, including an argument under the Clean Water Act. The second problem is I think that's just an unsupportable reading of what was going on here. What they raised as an initial contention was an argument that the environmental report's discussion of thermal discharges was insufficient. It did not have a sufficient discussion of thermal discharges for purposes of NEPA. They then tried tacking on to that a discussion that a 401 water quality certification was needed and had not been obtained. The decision of the board here was not that at no point during NRC relicensing proceedings could compliance with Section 401 be considered. It was simply that the Section 401 issue had no relevance to the actual contention, which dealt with the discussion of thermal discharges
right,
in the environmental report.
The board understood NEC to ask for reconsideration or alternatively for leave to amend contention one or to file a new contention. That's from the board's opinion.
That's correct, and I think what the board held was that NEC did not satisfy the standards either for amending or for raising a new contention at that time.
What did they have to do? That's what I'm not clear about.
Well, there are, if you look at the NRC regulations and they're set forth in the record appendix, there are a number of showings you need to make in order to amend or file a new contention. One of the requirements is that you need to rely upon material which was not available to you at the time that you have filed your initial contentions. And so I think the argument that Entergy made, and I think the board agreed, was that because this question of 401 was available to them at the time, it should have been raised as a contention then. Importantly, though, this 2006 order was not the last time that the issue could have been raised. Thereafter, there were two additional points before you even got to the commission at which NEC or the state could have raised the 401 issue. In particular, under 10 CFR 5145D and 10 CFR 5171C, the environmental impact statement needs to set forth a discussion of compliance with other permitting and licensing requirements under federal or state law. Mm-hmm. So even if, as the board says in this order, the 401 issue is a separate independent statutory requirement, when the NRC did not include a new water quality certification among the items that needed to be obtained prior to licensing in the draft EIS and the EIS, additional contentions could have been filed then. They could have come to the NRC and said, why didn't you list 401 at this point?
Can you just, in the EIS, did it say specifically that 401 license, new 401 license was not required, or just didn't mention the point?
There was a listing of requirements that needed to be obtained, and this was not included among those which...
But it wasn't expressly excluded. It's just an omission,
it was,
right?
It was not expressly included. Uh-huh. Correct. And I think coming, if you put together the timeline and you look at Entergy's environmental report, which lists the 1970 water quality certification and lists the NPDES permit. If you look at the 1996 generic environmental impact statement, which suggests that NRC will, in most cases, take a NPDES permit as satisfying 401. You look at the discussion which occurred in the briefing on the motion to strike and the motion to amend, where Entergy again raised the existence of the 1970 water quality certification and NPDES permit as satisfying section 401. I think any reasonable person looking at that timeline would need to say that when the NRC left out a new 401 certification in its environmental impact statements, that the issue should have been raised at that point. there's one issue I'd like to discuss, which is the question of jurisdiction under the Hobbs Act. I understand that Entergy is the only party taking the position in this case that the petitions that were untimely under the Hobbs Act. In that regard, I would like simply to distinguish the City of Benton case, which was relied upon by petitioners. In that case, unlike here, you simply had an interlocutory order. Here, the order that which we claim started the clock ticking was the final order by the Commission resolving all of the contentions in the case. That came out 70 days before the petitions were filed. And because the petitions were filed 60 days, more than 60 days after the applicable order, they're untimely. There's a case I would direct you to, which is not cited in the brief for this point. It is City of Cleveland versus NRC, 68 F3rd 1361, and in particular, footnote 10. It's a case from this court in 1995. There you had a situation in which there was a order of the NRC finally resolving all issues as to one party, and this court held that even though the proceeding was ongoing, the order resolving all the issues as to that particular party was a final order for purposes of the Hobbs Act, and it rejected an argument, ironically, by the Commission that the court lacked jurisdiction to consider an appeal from that order. I see my time's expired if there are no further questions.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
How much time does Ms. Miller have? Okay.
Let me just address briefly the argument regarding the ASLB decision raised by my opposing counsel. I would direct the court to our reply brief at page 20, and specifically In re Virginia Electric Power Company, 68 NRC 294 at 329. It is a case where NRC clearly states that contentions regarding the Clean Water Act do not have a place in the NRC hearing itself. The commission made clear that licensing boards should not admit contentions alleging that applicants must obtain permits from other agencies. And the NRC goes on to say, whether non-NRC permits are required is the responsibility of the bodies that issue such permits, such as legal, state or local authorities. If anyone is concerned that the NRC license may not comply, those concerns can be addressed in the state agency process. That is a statement by the NRC in line with the ASLB finding that the 401 certificate process is separate and distinct from the NEPA process. With regard to the NEPA process and the...
Could I pause on
sure.
That? Two of the opinions of our court that were cited by you, I think the Commonwealth of Kentucky case and the State of North Carolina case,
sure.
Aren't those ones where this issue was addressed before the commission? So in Kentucky, it was a dispute about whether it was Kentucky or Indiana whose 401 certificate was the key. Well, that was raised before the commission and then was appealed.
There was not. That's correct. And in North Carolina, FERC had taken the issue up. Neither of those matters were NRC cases, of course. But in neither of those matters was there, as here, a failure by the federal agency to address it at all.
I'm sorry?
A failure by the federal agency to address 401 at all, which is the issue we have here.
But in the Kentucky case, wasn't that before the Nuclear Regulatory Commission? That wasn't.
I apologize, Your Honor.
And in that case, the commission itself addressed this question, which I took what you were just saying as meaning that the commission doesn't address these questions.
It's clear from NRC decisions that litigation concerning the underlying issues of the Clean Water Act 401 are not matters with NRC discretion or considered to be matters within contentions that can come before the board. That speaks to the Chevron deference that you mentioned earlier.
So in Kentucky, how was it that it came before the licensing board and then the NRC?
Your Honor, I apologize. I don't have the case in front of me and cannot answer the question standing here right now. The NRC, of course, is not entitled to the Chevron deference because with respect to the Clean Water Act, it is the EPA that is the federal agency of jurisdiction. The EPA has been clear in its guidance document that waiver can occur only upon application by a licensee. And I would say to the court, consider what would have occurred if the state of Vermont, which had no obligation to be a party in front of the NRC in the relicensing proceeding, had in fact not participated in that proceeding, and the NRC had gone just as it did here through the entire process, having acknowledged its 401 obligation in several other documents, but yet failing to acknowledge in any respect that obligation in the license issued to Vermont Yankee. Given that the state did not have to be a party in the NRC proceeding, it seems to us that it turns the question on its head to now suggest that petitioners should have raised the issue further, having already raised it on a number of occasions and having received from the ASLB assurance that 401 is a separate independent statutory criteria, NRC having itself recognized its obligation under 401. Therefore, the petitioners would request that the court reverse the relicensing decision, remand it to the NRC for further proceedings awaiting a 401 certificate by the state of Vermont, as required under the express and plain terms of Section 401 of the Clean Water Act.
Let me ask you just one quick question. A
sure.
Harmless error argument is made here. Anywhere is there a showing that there is a harm? In other words, that the interests that Vermont has under 401 are not fully met under the 402 permit?
Yes, Your Honor. First of all, there has been no application to the state of Vermont, so we have not had the opportunity to take up a 401 for more than 40 years. Having said that, it is clear in Vermont that 401 and 402 are separately treated and routinely both granted with respect to federal licenses, or both required to be granted with respect to federal licenses.
Substantively,
the record, I believe, does show that with regard to the thermal discharge permit, that permit is under administrative continuance. It is being litigated as we speak. There is no renewed discharge permit with respect to Vermont Yankee right now. That proceeding is ongoing. And the Clean Water Act...
In the state courts? Or
At the agency in the first instance, and then it will be at the State Agency of Natural Resources. Yes, and then it will have the opportunity for a review by a board and eventually by the Supreme Court of the state of Vermont in the event that is necessary. Clean Water Act.
Just so I'm clear.
Sure.
So there is no Section 402 permit Vermont has approved as to this facility at the time the NRC issued the license?
Your Honor, at the time the NRC issued the license, the 402 permit for this facility was under administrative continuance from 2006.
Okay.
And finally, the 401, Section 401 itself is Congress's guarantee to the states that they shall be involved in protection of the water quality of our nation's waters. And it is our position that the air cannot be harmless when the state has been deprived altogether of its ability under 401 here. Thank you very much.
Okay, one second.
Sure.
All right.
Could you come up to the podium, Mr. Crosston?
I just wanted to ask you a question about the comments of counsel regarding the 402 permit at the time the commission issued the license.
Yes, you're wondering about the status of the 402 permit?
Well, or? I'm trying to understand. In other words, when the license was issued, was the commission, A, relying on the 1970 Clean Water Act certification and this 402 permit, or neither?
I think the record demonstrates that the agency was relying on the 402 permit, which was under timely renewal and based on the...
But counsel has just represented it's been under administrative continuance since 2006 because it's being challenged in the state agencies.
Yes, it's still under timely renewal. It's still an active permit, and it's a live 402 permit. It's renewed every 5 years under the federal law under Section 402.
I just don't understand what that means. If the state has continued it, it doesn't mean it's in effect.
I think it is in effect under the state's timely renewal statute. Yes,
but none of this is clarified in the record. Is that correct?
I think the brief
harmless error argument was raised. And so the question is, what difference does it make whether you have a 401, 402 from Vermont's point of view, all right?
Right. I agree. And that's definitely a point we raised that I did not get to discuss earlier that, I mean, Vermont suggested in their comments on the Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement that the 402 permit took care of everything, really, environmentally, and so there was no problems, any worries under the Clean Water Act.
Comment filed?
That was filed in 2007. That was after the initial contentions were filed in 2006. So that was subsequent after the contentions before the board. So
could the commission have issued if there were no 402 permit from Vermont?
I believe the commission would not have issued the license, the renewed operating license, without a 402 permit.
So, but I guess what we were understanding from opposing counsel was that there was not yet a 402 permit, and it was under review with respect to the thermodischarge. Am I misunderstanding?
There was an effective 402 permit. The last one that was issued was Entergy had applied for renewals, my understanding, and it was under the, just like under the Administrative Procedure Act under 558, there's a timely renewal process provided in the Vermont statutes that say the old permit continues in effect until the new one's issued, and I think that was the status they've been under.
What would happen if at the end of the administrative proceeding in Vermont they find that the discharge, thermodischarge is not acceptable, then what happens?
I believe, I think the NRC would have to go back and reconsider its action. I'm not sure that's ever happened at the NRC, but I mean, if you're saying if there was no 402 permit or a 401...
Well, right now, maybe that because there's no record about this, it's very difficult for us to guess what's going on. But
right.
As I just understood opposing counsel, there is a proceeding going on with respect to the thermal discharge. When there's a proceeding, sometimes one party loses.
Sure.
In fact, 50% of the time, one party loses, or maybe 100% of the time, one party loses. So imagine the party that loses is the one that claims that the discharge is okay. So what happens at the end of that proceeding?
If the NRC, I think then the NRC would have to take the matter under consideration. The commission would have to decide what to do. Maybe they would look again at the effects of the original 401 certification. They never really considered that issue, given the 402 permit that was ongoing.
So once it issues a renewal license, an interested party can challenge its continuance?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand.
My hypothetical is on day one, the NRC issues a renewal license for 20 years. all right?
Yes.
On the assumption that there is an outstanding 402 permit, all right, on day two, Vermont advises the commission that there is no outstanding 402 permit. Is the renewal license then subject to challenge? I mean, it's already been issued. So I'm just trying to understand some finality here.
I think the commission could go back on its own authority and look at the issue. I'm not sure that I'm not fully sure about the answer to that question, but I think they would go back and reconsider, and they'd have to look at again the effects of the pre-existing 401 certification and all the claims raised at Entergy that the commission never had a chance to consider here.
One of the amicus briefs suggested that because these 401 certifications take so long that it isn't practical for the commission to act other than to issue these licenses conditionally. That's not what happened here, though.
No, I don't think it was a condition. I think maybe FERC or some other agency issues conditional licenses. I don't.
That's an amicus suggesting we ought to do that here. Or the commission ought to do that here. Anyway, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
We have caucused, and we would like the intervener and NRC and the petitioners within 10 days to submit their position on the status of this 402. It's not clear from the record, and we want to get it as clear as possible. Okay. All right.